Material supplied by VMS may be used for internal review, analysis, or research only. Any editing, reproduction, publication, rebroadcasting, public showing, internet, or public display is forbidden and may violate copyright law.
I hope all of you have a great weekend, and we're going to help you this hour have a great weekend, because I want to welcome to the Nightside studio a clinical psychologist. I hope I'm right on that.
That's right.
All right. Yep. Clinical psychologist. We'll figure out what that means in a moment. Dr. Craig Malkin, you probably know him as the great forward for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but he has another role as a... And you were injured,
did you
right?
See me? Did you see how I did?
You did very well. Thank you. And Crosby, you're both injured for that team. Malkin's out too, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no relation though, right?
Well, my brother's also a Malkin.
Well, you have a relation, but not with him necessarily. Yeah. Dr. Craig Malkin, now you are a clinical psychologist. Are you at Harvard?
I teach at Harvard Medical School.
Well, that's
I'm a clinical teacher.
A clinical teacher,
yeah.
Okay. And a clinical psychologist, what does that mean?
Clinical psychologists specialize in the science and practice of helping people change. It's really devoted to figuring out what kinds of factors help people grow and what kind of factors can help them overcome difficulties. And clinical psychologists often go into private practice, like myself, as therapists.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. But tonight, we're not going to necessarily give you much therapy. We're going to solve everyone's Valentine's Day problems. That's our
purpose. That's exactly right. Yep.
Okay. So, guys...
Well, we're going to bring reason to Valentine's Day.
Well, we don't want to bring too much reason here. Let me tell you.
A little bit.
All right. Gentlemen, if you're out there and you have any sort of Valentine's Day question, you are more than welcome. And, of course, ladies, I hope you light up the phones here. What we want to do is find out what people want to get, what their expectations are. I assume Valentine's Day is a lot about expectations.
It's often about way too much about expectations. So a client on the way out of my office today who knows that I'm married, his parting words to me were, "Oh, it's Valentine's Day coming up. I hope you get it right."
To you.
Yeah, to me.
Yeah.
And so what I
did
like...
Did he know something we don't know?
I try to be careful about what I share, unless it's really funny.
That's okay. Well, if it's funny, sure. Go ahead.
So, I hope that our conversation today can help lighten things up a little bit to take some of that pressure off, because really Valentine's Day should be a time that we can honor relationships and not feel all that stress about what has to be done and how to get it done.
Well, so all week long, I keep seeing these ads on television for, whether it's flowers or chocolates or teddy bears. This can be a very expensive holiday.
Yes.
I don't know if it's holiday correct or whatever, and a very expensive day. What sort of general advice would you have either for men or women as this day approaches? I mean, here it is, February 11th. We're like 2 days away. A lot of people celebrate Valentine's Day this weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that always helps take the pressure off is, take the guesswork out of it. Definitely ask what your partner would like for Valentine's Day. But there are some other things that help, too, that we know just on based on research help increase feelings of connection and boost the romance, like humor.
Like humor.
Yeah. It turns out that humor is a turn-on. There's a study done, 37 different countries and cultures, men and women alike rate humor high on the list of what they're looking for in a mate. So, when I'm talking with couples and they're just trying to figure out easy ways to connect, we'll talk about things like play a goofy board game, or share a funny book. Read David Sedaris. Pick out the parts that you really like and the ones that really make you laugh. Share that with your partner. Partners also who share inside jokes feel more satisfied and more connected in their relationships. So rent stand-up. Watch something funny together and hold hands.
We think of Valentine's Day as being this romantic weekend, and maybe we do put too much pressure on each other. What's the pressure that the average guy is feeling this way? I guess we have to talk about guys and gals, and also single guys versus married guys. So I'm assuming I've been both. I assume it's a little different for single and a little bit different for married. Single guys, what are they thinking about? They're thinking about, what am I going to do? do here? What am I going to, what message is it going to send? And maybe I'm not all that committed, but gee, I kind of like her. Is that the deal?
Exactly. There's always, they always get worried about what's going to be too serious or, what's not going to show that I'm invested enough. And, a lot of the pressure comes along for single guys when they're dating because they want to make sure they get it right, just like the person who said to me on the way out of the office. Often the best way to get it right is just pay attention to little things. I want to go back to the research for a second because it is really great what we know. Turns out novelty is a turn on too. If you do new things together, it stimulates the reward centers of the brain. It's rich in a neurotransmitter or brain chemical called dopamine, which is also sometimes called the feel-good neurotransmitter.
Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. This is how you become Dr. Feelgood. You do these new things together. And it turns out that dopamine also increases.
It's a horrible name, by the way.
I know. Yeah. It really is.
Isn't that the same thing you get if you run a lot, if you become a runner? Isn't that the same kind of hooks you on running?
I think that's a dopey running syndrome.
No. I think it's similar, isn't it? Positive reinforcement.
Exactly. It gets the dopamine flowing. Mm-hmm. But the best part about dopamine, too, is more dopamine means more testosterone, which is what gives everybody sex drive.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So
at least the men, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's funny.
My guest is Dr. Craig Melkin. He's a clinical psychologist. If you would like to join us and ask a question, you are more than welcome. Again, one of the things that's great about Nice Side is you get all these professional people come in and they give their time and they give their expertise free of charge to our audience. So I know this is a big weekend coming up. If you have a question about Valentine's, or maybe you want to tell us a funny story, or maybe even a tragic story about something that you did wrong or perhaps didn't do as well as you should have, and you can prevent someone else from making that same mistake, Craig Melkin and I would love to hear from you. Dr. Craig Melkin teaches at the Harvard Medical School, clinical psychologist. And ladies, this is the time when I want you to reach for that telephone and jump on board and tell us maybe some of the horrific Valentine's Day gifts you've received, or maybe tell us how some guys have just swept you off your feet with just the right gift, and maybe you'll give some ideas to some of our male listeners. 617-254-1030, 888-WBZ-1030, 888-929-1030. Nightside with Dan Ray. Rob Brooks is behind the glass. Dial away. Don't be shy. It's Valentine's Day weekend.
Wow.
Oh, we're back. All right, we're talking with my guest, Dr. Craig Melkin. Sorry about that. Again, jump on board. Don't be shy. He is a clinical psychologist, teaches at the Harvard Medical School, and as he indicated before, he deals generally with people also in private practice.
Yes, exactly. I see couples. I see people in relationships. I see people individually. Anybody.
How important, if you had to rank, all the various, big days throughout the year, the Christmas holiday season, Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day, someone's birthday. How important is this February 14th thing to? I'm talking about couples who are just starting off in life, either newly married or newly introduced to one another. Mm-hmm. This is a biggie, right?
It can be. It depends on the couple. But getting back to the pressure that we're trying to relieve that you were talking about earlier, a lot of times what people start to feel, women in particular, is they're looking for some sign. That things are going to go well. This is going to be a great relationship. And it gets all too much of it packed into a day like Valentine's Day, and that's where the pressure comes in, when it really should be just thinking about, how do you connect and how do you stay connected and trying to honor that on Valentine's Day.
Well, one of the things that you talked about is that you don't have to spend a lot of money.
No.
Because some people, basically, I think, associate with the amount of money, if I buy the three dozen roses,
right,
as opposed to one dozen roses,
right,
or if I get 10 pounds of chocolates as opposed to 1 pound,
right,
of chocolate, whatever. So how do you save money?
Here's a much better way to do it. Save your money on the dozen roses and get one rose and hide it in the refrigerator or on the bed or somewhere that your partner can discover it. Because again, the surprise is fun, and it brings this lightness, and it's exciting. It brings an excitement to the relationship, and now you've saved money, and you've done something more than just buy the typical dozen roses.
Yeah, I always thought roses were sort of overrated because no matter what, they just seem to be gone in a couple of days.
Absolutely. Or, you know, here's something, what we know.
And much more expensive during this week. I mean, next weekend, you'll be able, they'll be like a third of the price, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They drop it down. Right now is the time the demand is high.
Yes, right.
So skip the roses. The other thing you can do, you can do something simple with modern technology. We have text messaging. One of the things I often recommend is send a flirty text message. You know, there's a nice surprise. And I guarantee you it'll be fun and exciting for you. Are you going to do it?
You're asking me?
Yeah, send a flirty text message.
Well, I don't know. I passed the flirty text messages.
No.
Again, you like the idea of humor.
Yeah.
Again, I know that there are guys out there listening right now, and I know that there are women out there listening right now. How do you match the expectation? That's what my concern is for our listeners. You know, if you're a guy and you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, you know, I mean, I've been dating this woman for 2 months, 3 months, whatever the deal is here, and I, you know, really want this relationship, the first Valentine's Day together. How do you match? This is tough stuff.
It is tough. But again, let's take some of the pressure off. You can ask.
So what percentage of people, women, do you think want to be asked and therefore not surprised? That would be my question. Mm. That would be my fear, that if you simply ask, do you look like a dummy at that point? Like, what do you want for Valentine's Day?
Well, I mean, I think along the way you should be trying to find out what kind of things what the person you're dating really likes or your partner really likes, what would be fun for them. So it shouldn't actually be something that you...
Not a direct question, then.
Yeah, I mean, be looking for those things along the way. But if you're feeling really stuck, I think anybody will be happy if you are keeping in mind what they say they like. This is what I say to clients when they're talking about, you know, what it is they're looking for, what helps them feel closer. When they tell you, when you ask and they tell you, it's not a demand, it's not a pressure, it's a gift. It's a roadmap to figuring out what's going to keep them happy in the relationship. So you definitely want to look for those things along the way. And I wouldn't save it till Valentine's Day to ask, so what should I do for you?
I guess Dr. Craig Malkin, the number 617-254-1030, 888-WBZ-1030, 888-929-1030. We are open to your past Valentine's Day stories. If you have some stories that went particularly well, or even those that might have not gone so well, we'd love to hear them. And also, realize you're maybe helping your fellow human beings, because maybe the mistake that you made, whether it was an error of commission or an error of omission, meaning something you really did or something you didn't do, and if you can help out your fellow man or woman on this Valentine's Day, wonderful. So jump on board, and again, want to hear from women as well as men. We're going to start it off with Richard, who's in Pembroke. Hey, Richard, how are you tonight?
Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How's your Valentine looking?
Very good. Hello, doctor.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm getting ready to go over the Sylvan Bridge, so I'll make it real quick.
Don't jump off.
Haven't been in the floral business. You can make roses actually last forever. And what you do is, after you've had them for a day or two, sitting in your vase, looking real nice, you take them out, and you hang them by a spring upside down for maybe a day or two until they're dry. Once they're dry, spray them with a little hairspray, and they'll last the way they looked the first day they came in forever.
So are you still in the business of selling roses, Richard?
No, but these are little things that you remember, you know, having been in the business.
So let's assume that you bought a dozen roses for your wife or your sweetheart or whomever, right?
Uh-huh.
And let's assume that a day later you took them out of the vase and you hung them upside down in the living room. Let's find out from Dr. Malkin what sort of reaction that might get from... I'm just picturing this, radio of the mind here.
I think as long as you pin a note to it that says, just joking, then now you've injected the humor we're talking about.
Richard, what's the best Valentine's gift you've ever gotten or given?
Oh boy. Well,
and keep it clean, Richard. Yeah.
It sounds very materialistic. I got this beautiful leather attaché case.
Oh.
I had just gotten a new job, and she wanted to show how happy she was for me that I got this job. She gave me a beautiful leather attaché case for a Valentine's gift.
And do you generally do well? I don't know. I don't need to know if you're married or single or whatever. But is Valen divorced?
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Malkin's right here.
But it still means something to him.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Yeah. He likes the attaché case. Have we losing you there, Richard? I think we're losing you.
Well, you might be. I'm going to be going into the Charlestown Tunnel.
Okay.
No reception, so I might have to say goodbye.
All right. Well, Richard, quick question. In your life, again, I know that you've at one point sold roses. Is Valentine's an overrated day?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Richard.
You got it, Dan.
Let you go. 617-254-1030, 888-WBZ-1030, 888-929-1030. We can solve any of your Valentine's problems. We have a clinical psychologist, Dr. Craig Malkin, in studio. Jump on board. Maureen in Worcester. Hey, Maureen, how are you?
Hi, Dan. I do love flowers, I have to be honest.
Really?
But I have to say that I'm not a fan of roses. I've told my daughters and my husband not to get them for me. I'm a fan of carnations because they last double the time the roses do.
Interesting. Have you had a good fortune with Valentine? You said your husband. So is your husband still remembering you on Valentine's Day, not taking you for granted?
No, he remembers me. And usually if we don't go to dinner, then I'll make him a nice meal. You know, rather than going out, probably this year it'll be making a nice meal.
All right. And if he were to forget, could that be problematical?
No. Especially this year. Our daughter just got married last weekend.
You just had a marriage in your family?
Yeah, my daughter.
Congratulations. Oh,
great.
Thank you.
How long have you been married?
We'll be 33 years in July.
Wow.
Successful marriage.
Okay, so you've got plenty to tell us then.
Yeah,
I got a question.
Marriage is work, but that's, the fact of life.
That's absolutely the
right. Dr. Malkin wants to ask you a question.
Okay.
What if you found a carnation hanging upside down in your kitchen? would that be romantic?
I'm
all set
with that.
No. Well, that's what Richard said. Richard said you only had to do that with roses. That's for sure.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Maureen, thanks very much. Happy Valentine's Day, okay?
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. We're talking with Dr. Craig Malkin. He's a clinical psychologist, teaches at Harvard Medical School. And jump on board, folks. This is your opportunity to save your Valentine's. It's a big weekend out there. Men, if you got a question, you're welcome. Ladies, if you got a question, if you got a story, we'd love to hear from you. You know the number, 617-254-1030, 888-WBZ-1030, or 888-929-1030. All right. Folks, don't be shy. Dr. Malkin has his office hours open up. I want these lines to light up. Jump on board, 617-254-1030. We can solve every one of your Valentine's Day problems.
Any and all of them.
That's right. 888-888-WBZ-1030, 888-929-1030. Let's go to the great state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia. Maura is in Virginia. Hey, Maura, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Whereabouts in Virginia are you hanging out these days, Maura?
In the Blue Ridge Mountains outside of Charlottesville.
Oh, that's a beautiful area. And I'll bet you up in the mountains our signal's pretty good tonight.
It is.
Excellent. Say hi to Dr. Craig Malkin. What question or observation would you like to share?
Hi, Doctor.
Hi.
I worked in Appalachia before I retired, and I had a mentor at work. And one Valentine's, I was so appreciative of all his time and expertise, so I put a note in his mailbox, and it said, if you like surprises, look in the refrigerator. So in the break room, in the refrigerator, I had got a quart of pine or whatever, of Ben and Jerry's chocolate, Garcia, good chocolate cherry ice cream.
Well, you would have had me, Maura. This is Dan.
That is terrific.
And you know, it's so adaptable because I do the same thing, you know, for other occasions, not just, it's that little, if you like a surprise,
yes.
You know, open the fourth drawer or, you know, you
yes.
fill in the blank.
Yeah. Now, he was a mentor, so I assume that since you weren't working in the Clinton White House, there was no romantic relationship there.
No. He was married and 30 years younger than me.
Well, that's what I said. You weren't working in the Clinton White House. Just wanted to.
Thanks for calling with that, because I do hope people, I hope everybody's listening to that, because that is just a terrific idea. That's exactly the kind of light fun. Doesn't take a lot of money. It's just a nice surprise, and people feel more connected when they get something like that.
Okay, thank you.
More, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, good night. Jump on board, folks. 617-254-1030, 888-WBZ-1030, 888-929-1030. If you've had a bad Valentine's Day experience in the past and you'd like to work through it, Dr. Craig Malcolm will be happy to talk to you. And if you are approaching the weekend and you're flat out of ideas, I think Dr. Craig might be able to help you as well. Now, the Morris call really was, I guess, was a nice Valentine's thing, but it could have been done any day of the week.
Exactly.
I'm more concerned about the people who this weekend are in relationships and they're not really sure, you know, what to do here.
Yeah.
And again, you've kept saying that humor is important.
Sure.
Any other tips that you might have? I mean, if you're a 23, 24 year old male, and you're I'm just trying to pick a hypothetical case, and you're dating someone, and you know, how can you tell what's too much and might appear to be too overwhelming, and what isn't enough? Again, it comes back to this idea of communication, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, this is it is a tough thing to answer in a simple way, because that does come down to how far along are you enough that you know what it's going to mean to that other person. And that's why I know I try to keep it very simple by saying try to ask when you're in doubt. But if you're worried about something seeming overly serious, you can take a page from the book that we know about what kind of things stay with people and what they enjoy, and that's experiences. So, you know, just making a plan, I wouldn't do it now because it's too cold, but making a plan to, say, go hiking in the hills, any kind of adventure, those things stick in people's minds, they stay with us, it's not going to send the message that you're overly serious. It just sends the message that I enjoy doing this kind of thing with you, and I want to do it with you.
Okay,
yeah.
Should people, when you do that, I'm sure that some guys are going to say, that's going to look like it's cheap. You know, I mean, hiking in the woods isn't going to cost a lot of money here. Is the cost, you know, the cost so planted in our brains that we have to get by that? As you know, I'm talking to now as a clinical psychologist. Everything is associated with a dollar value.
It absolutely is.
Everyone knows everyone what something costs, but they don't know what the value of it is.
But again, this is where you kind of have to know your partner. But at a certain point, you should probably know if they're going to see that as cheap.
Yes.
And you have to ask yourself, I'm getting a little serious about it with this, you have to ask yourself, you know, how do you feel about being with somebody who views it that way? I mean, do those values align for you? I mean, do you feel comfortable that something like that would be viewed in terms of just its dollar value? If somebody tells you they would like something and it has a dollar value assigned to it, again, now you know.
Right.
But, you know, I do want a quick other point about all of this, which is we already know what makes people happy. We know that it's not things. It's not how much something costs. It's not commercial. It's experiences.
Right, but still, if you watch TV, for the last week, jewelers and florists and chocolatiers have spent thousands upon thousands of dollars advertising, trying to sell commercial products. Let's get right back to the phones. Joanne is in Hopkinton. Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Oh, hi, Dan.
How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Valentine's Day to you. I hope it will be a happy Valentine's Day. Say hi to Dr. Craig Malcolm.
Hi, Dr. Craig.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I just have a little bit of my Valentine's experience after 43 years. They've been all lovely. And the last few, we have decided to just recycle old cards.
Okay.
And I was writing cards to my children, and my husband passed through the room, and he said, are we recycling Valentine's cards this year? And I said, absolutely.
So you have kept Valentine's Day cards?
I keep all cards. I have cards from my first daughter's birth, and she's 43 years old this year.
Wow. So you are a true romantic, I would assume.
We've been having fun with all holidays, birthdays, Christmas. We don't buy any more cards. I just keep changing the date on them.
Sarah, let me ask Dr. Malkin here a question. I'm a bit of a pack rat, too, Joanne. I know it's a kind way to put it. Is the fact that Joanne keeps cards, and I've kept cards over the Christmas cards, just certain Christmas cards, is that a good or a bad thing, or does it? Is there really no definitive answer to that?
Well, in a way, it depends, but I can say something clearly about how it depends. It depends on what meaning it has for you. As when people collect things because they're somehow a stand-in for something really important, they cling to them as though if they hold on to the cards or whatever it is, that it's going to keep them safe, or it's going to keep them happy, or they won't have to mourn someone, then that's not so great. If it's just a reminder, if it's history like it is in this case, then, and especially when you have something flexible like we're going to go through it and I'm sure there's lots of memories, then I think that can be a great thing. So it depends on how controlled you are by the things that you're hoarding or holding on to. I mean, it's not hoarding, I think, if it's a little flexible in the way we're talking about right now. So,
Joanne, I hope that helps a little bit, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I like to go back and look at the artwork because they're so different.
It has.
And then sometimes I cut half of it off and I send them as old postcards and stuff like that. It's just a fun thing for me to do.
Well, it sounds like fun, and if it works for you and your husband after 43 years, sounds like it does.
Oh, it does.
I would predict the marriage is going to last.
Oh, that's a good prediction.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, thanks very much, Joanne.
Thanks, Dan.
Good night. Bye-bye. 617-254-1030. 888-WBZ 1030. 888-929-1030. Guys, I know the guys are sitting out there, and they're saying, I want to call, but I'm a little afraid. You don't even have to use your own name if you want. You can use a nom de guerre if you want, and you can ask whatever nom de guerre would be appropriate here, for those of you who speak French. Clearly, the war between the sexes, works here. Jump on board. 617-254-1030. 888-WBZ 1030. 888-929-1030. We get back and talk with Dr. Craig Malkin about some of the type of gifts that people want us to buy, and we'll list some of them and get his value on those. We get back. Barbara from West Virginia will be next on board. Give us a yell back after this. Let's get back to the phone calls with Dr. Craig Malkin. And I think it's so interesting. The vast majority of calls this hour are from women. And men, I tell you, this is a big day. You don't want to mess this one up. We can help
taking
you.
Taking the pressure off.
Well, you're taking the... Yeah, but I mean, if they're sitting out there, if they do nothing, you know, there can be a point where you got to feel a little
you're
pressure.
You're in trouble. That's the bet.
No, but what I'm saying is if you're a ball player and you don't have some butterflies in the locker room, you're not ready to go out on the ice. You know? I mean, you got to have a little pressure here. Let's go to Barbara in West Virginia. Hey, Barbara, how are you?
Well, he's going to love me, I guess.
Well, good. Say hi to Dr. Craig Malkin.
Hi, Doc.
Hi, how are you?
I have been sick with the flu or something for about a week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had some of that last weekend, Barbara. My empathy.
Well, I'll give it to you free of charge, but...
I don't want it.
You don't want it. He's going to love me because I know I need help here, Dan.
I'll go right ahead.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I really need help. My grandmother passed away in 1988, and she was buried on Valentine's Day.
Mm.
And I live in her home, in her house. My grandfather built it, and I'm like the third generation owner of the house. My parents had it, and we bought the house from them, from my sister when they passed away. Now, my problem, Doctor.
Yeah.
And you probably already know what it is. I still have my mother's shoes in her closet, where she left them. And my sister tells me that I need help. She says I've gone too far. She said, and it's been like, Mom died in 03. And I still have grandmother's things. I still have Mom and Dad's things. And they go back to 1960. This is the house time forgot.
Yeah.
So it's like an antique.
Greg, all yours.
Oh, this is a really...
Everything's an antique here.
I'm sorry. This is a really... It's obviously Valentine's Day is going to be a really difficult time for you.
But why? Why am I doing this to myself?
I mean, I think what would help is to focus on, you know, what do you want to remember about, what do you want to remember about the person you've lost? What do you remember? What do you want to hold on to in the house? Because right now you're in the position of, it's not remembering, it's what I call memorializing. You're surrounded by passive reminders all
right.
the time
right.
of this life that's gone, and it's like an assault.
Right.
You have no control over it. And often what helps is to just pick, you know, this is where your sister is right, you know, to be greeted by the shoes every time.
Mm-hmm.
You want to pick things to remember about the past and the people that you've lost
mm-hmm.
so that it's your choice and they have that meaning. Otherwise, you're just surrounded and it is like you're living in a memorial. So,
well, she said to make the house my house.
Exactly. She's right on
but
point.
But how do I do that without, I don't want to get rid of their, I mean.
Yeah, this is what I was talking about before. I don't know if you heard, but it's now all of these things have become a way of holding on.
I got an idea.
To what you've lost. Go ahead.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
Okay, Dad.
All right, Barbara. And that just struck me. I'm sure there are a lot of people in your community who probably could wear those shoes.
Well, I
took
their clothes. I took a lot of her clothes out to Goodwill.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That way, in effect, the clothes and the shoes are being utilized by people, and they're living a purpose. You may want to keep one pair or something like that.
Terrific
but,
idea.
But I just think to think that basically you're extending your mom's and your dad's lives by what is usable. Other people who don't have the capacity. Just a thought, Barbara. You know, I think I know you pretty well from our phone calls.
Yeah, no, but am I not letting them die in my mind? Is it my mind that's holding on to them?
Yeah, I think you know the answer to that. You're answering it with the question you're asking. You know, that you are holding on, but you're setting it up in a way where it's harder to say goodbye and not let go. That's what I mean, being surrounded by all these things. So Dan has this great idea. Mm-hmm. Remember them in a different way.
Well, I gave all her wigs to cancer research at the hospital for...
Well, I think that's the path you want to follow,
I
Barbara.
I would keep doing things like that. It's a terrific way to remember her.
Yeah, and just think about the people who will be able to utilize what is just sitting in a closet now, and it will liberate you, and it will also be of great value.
But I have
people.
Nothing to put in the closets. That's the bad part.
Well, once...
then... Again, this is where your sister is right on point. You need to make the house your own. So
right, that's what
you go
she
out
said.
With go out with some friends and pick some items that you could put in the closet that just aren't at reminders of the past at all. They're just new. They're for you.
Okay.
All right, Barb. We got to let you go because it's way past break. Okay. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much. 617-254-1030. Fear not, folks. Just jump on board. We have one segment left. Dr. Craig Malcolm talking about Valentine's Day. And again, a lot of women have called in here. I want to hear from the guys. If you're looking for an idea or a suggestion, again, I'm not looking to put the pressure on you, but I know that as those hours tick down towards Monday or whenever Saturday night, I mean, Valentine's Day being on a Monday this year, many people will be celebrating it on Saturday or Sunday. if you need some help, Dr. Craig Malcolm is here. And again, if you want to tell us a funny story, maybe a Valentine's Day situation that worked out well, that you didn't think was going to work out, you're welcome. Marianne in the car is going to be next when we get back right after this break. Let's get back to the phones. We're talking about Valentine's Day. Today is the 11th of November. Valentine's Day comes up on Monday. Dr. Craig Malcolm is in studio. He's a clinical psychologist in private practice, but also is associated with Harvard Medical School, and he's here to answer any question you have. I had to ask one quick question before we get to Mary Ann. Is jewelry something that people should stay away from on Valentine's Day? I mean, there's some symbolism there that's pretty significant.
Yeah, you got to know your partner. Yeah. I mean, some people don't really care. My wife doesn't care about jewelry. And so it all depends. And if you don't know the answers to those questions, really, that's probably a sign that you want to start finding out a little bit more about their preferences, their attitudes, their values. You know, if they're happy with jewelry, sure, you go ahead and get the jewelry.
In your practice, and obviously I understand that there's a, you know, doctor-patient privilege, so I'm not trying to ask a question that invades that, goes behind that curtain. Have you had people in your practice whose problems materialized on Valentine's Day, that all of a sudden something either wasn't there or not? Is this a day that can cause problems?
Absolutely. Or any significant date in a couple's relationship. I mean, it could be anniversary, could be Mother's Day, you know, and that's that pressure, that's that sense of, you know, I'm looking for the sign that this person really cares about me and loves me. And if it all gets loaded up into that one day, that's way too much.
All right.
If that's a question, you should be trying to figure it out all along the way.
Let's get to Mary Ann is in the car. Hi, Mary Ann. How are you?
Hi, Dan. Hi, Doctor.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I think I'm okay anyway. I just crossed October. My boyfriend passed away. And then we were in a relationship on and off for 14 years. And I have another guy that I've spent time with over some of that time. So now I'm saying that he's moved to Florida, so... Now I'm saying my two lovers are getting gone.
Let me get this clear, Marianne. You had one boyfriend who unfortunately passed away.
Right.
And then kind of another male friend who might have eventually turned into a boyfriend who's moved to Florida.
Right, exactly. And they both happened in this past year.
Yes.
And in addition to that, one of my best friends at work, who worked together for 37 and a half years, retired a year ago. So I have some losses here.
Yeah.
And, Valentine's Day has always been kind of a bit of a funky time because I never knew what was going to happen. But my boyfriend who passed away, I found a Valentine from him that he sent me in 2003 that... He wrote a nice long note and really told me how he felt about me. And one of my plans was to just read it over this weekend and just remember that. And but I've been kind of in what I guess my mother would term the doldrum for maybe about a month or so.
Mm. Well, let's get Dr. Malkin's reaction. Sounds to me like that's a pretty healthy thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's another one of those examples of you're using it in this meaningful way. You're holding on to it to remember. You've chosen to keep the card. I think what I'm hearing is that maybe what's making it difficult over the past month and around this time of year is you might need other experiences, you know, with friends, so that it isn't just about the loss. Part of what helps us cope with the loss is having, you know, close friendships and supports and being able to do fun and different things. And it doesn't make the loss any less painful. It just helps you cope with it.
Right. Well, what I did about that is one of my favorite jazz performers, Keiko Matsui, was playing at the Dallas Jazz Club tonight, and I called my friend who's retired, and she came with me, and we went and saw the show tonight.
Terrific.
And I purchased the CD, and I'm also going to play that over the weekend. Okay. It's very powerful, inspirational music that she plays.
All right.
So,
well,
I hope I'm taking care of myself the right way.
That sounds exactly right. I'd say more of that.
Well,
okay.
Marianne, have a great Valentine's Day, and I'm sure that the next Valentine's Day, that maybe there'll be someone special there to share it with you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and thank you, Doctor.
Oh, you're
good
very
night.
Welcome. Good night.
Thanks, Marianne. 617-254-1030, 888-WBZ-1030, 888-929-1030. Let's go to Claire in Dorchester. The men are afraid to call. Hi, Claire. How are you tonight?
Good, thanks.
Say hi to Dr. Craig Malkin.
Hi, Dr. Malcolm.
Hi, how are you?
I'm calling about clarifying that gentleman's idea about drying the flowers. I think you missed his point.
Oh, well, I missed a lot of points, Claire, so I'm not offended. Go right ahead.
I think we're intentionally missing and having fun with
it. No. Just before he called, you had said, you buy flowers 2 days, they're dead.
Right.
Correct.
Yes.
What he's saying was, and I've done this myself, is that you have the flowers, the fresh flowers. After a couple of days, then you hang them upside down. You don't give them upside down dry.
No, I got that.
although it's an idea I'm still keeping in mind. So.
No, you don't give them all dried out. you give fresh ones, and then the people dry them themselves, so they'll last longer.
My wife is in the studio. What about upside down flowers?
No, that's the head shake.
Okay, no.
what's the advantage of just of hanging? He said he hang them upside down as opposed to just let them dry out.
Because when you leave them straight up, the petals tend to fall off. Whereas if you take them out of the water and hang them upside down, they don't fall off. And like you said, after you let them dry for a couple of days, if you spray them with hairspray, then they last a lot longer. They'll last a couple of weeks, a month.
Now, have you done this yourself, Claire, or are you relying?
No, I've done this myself. And a lot of these young girls that used to get flowers at work when I worked, they used to do the same thing.
Okay.
And then
a lot of people do it.
Okay, then after you dry them out, what do you do with them then? Press them?
Well, you can leave them just hanging upside down if you wanted, like on a wall or something. They used to leave them in their cubicles. Or you can turn them straight up and put them back in a vase.
And the petals won't fall off then?
Correct. If you spray them with the hairspray.
Okay. All right.
Try it and see.
Okay.
Well, if anyone sends me roses, I'll try it and see. All right, Claire, thanks very much.
I'll send you a rose,
Dan. You can get double duty.
Yeah.
You can get real ones and then send fake ones to dried ones to somebody else.
That's true, too. Yeah, that's very, very thoughtful, Claire. Claire, thanks very much. Hope you have a great Valentine's Day, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks very much. Craig Malkin, this has been an interesting hour. It's interesting that first caller was a male and all the other callers were women.
Yeah.
Which says to me that there's a lot of guys out there who are feeling pressure. Is the pressure more on men? Because I think the Madison Avenue is, you got to give this great present. Or is the pressure on women who are hoping to receive that great present?
Unfortunately, I think the pressure's on both sides.
On both sides.
Yeah. But I to relieve some of the pressure even further, I think I thought of a great gift idea for the women. You've inspired me.
Great.
But women for men. How about a bouquet of beef jerky?
Very thoughtful.
And beer.
A 12 pack of beer,
right?
As opposed to the 12 flowers.
In the form of a bouquet.
Dr. Craig Malkin, thanks very much for having come in. I've enjoyed it. You've been a good sport, that is for sure. And I hope that some people tonight maybe learn to take a little bit of pressure off themselves.
I hope so.
As we approach the Valentine's Day weekend, wish you and your wife and everyone else a happy Valentine's Day.
And same to you.
All right. And we're going to be back on the other side of the 11 o'clock news, and I'm not sure what we're going to do, but I think what I'd like to do is maybe Now, the guys will be willing to tell me their Valentine's Day horror stories, okay? We may start with that. If you don't want to start with that, we can do something a little bit more serious, but maybe Valentine's Day horror stories or Valentine's Day success stories. Again, Valentine's Day, next Monday. We tried to take the pressure off. Now loosen up and dial away. You know the numbers. Nightside with Dan Ray, Rob Brooks behind the glass. Craig Malcolm, thanks very much.
Thank you, sir. Time and money.